Well, all you got to do is hit. Is it going? Alrighty. Today is Wednesday, August 18th. Today's message is interesting to me because the Holy Spirit really touched me yesterday with a situation that came up and really got me thinking. And the question I have to ask you tonight is, are you a blessing? Are you a blessing to other people in your life? And are you a blessing to the Lord? Do you consider yourself a blessing? Be honest. We've talked about the past few weeks, the past, you know, messages that we've had in the past couple weeks. We have talked about making changes and reviewing our lives, starting anew and refreshing, starting new habits. But let me ask you, since you've begun your walk with the Lord, how much have you changed? Some may say a little, some may say a lot, some may say not much at first, but then something happened in my life and I have changed a lot since then. How much have you changed? Have you changed at all? I would say that if you haven't changed at all, you have not allowed the Lord to come into your heart, because that's the first thing God does. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior and you invite Him into your heart, He purges all this junk. Kicks out the profanity, kicks out the gossiping, kicks out all the bad thoughts, kicks out the sin. He gets rid of it. Sometimes it takes a long, you know, there are things in our lives that take longer to get rid of. But He starts taking care of all those things and making changes in your life, and people should be able to see it. People should be able to see it. Unfortunately, they don't always. And not just because of their blindness, but a lot of times because they don't want to see it. Now, we know that the Lord puts us through things so that we may be a comfort to others. We've talked about that before. And you've heard all the scriptures, you know, the Lord never gives you more than you can handle. All those things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the word says, "Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be a comfort to them which are in any trouble. By the comfort we ourselves received from the Lord our God." Now, I didn't read that exactly word for word, but God comforts us in our trials and tribulations so that we may help other people when they go through those things, those same things. And I've seen that a lot in my life. I have seen that a lot in my life. Things that I go through, or that I've gone through, or that I've had victory over, and now I know someone else that's going through it. So, with those things in mind, we know that we go through trials and tribulations. The Lord helps us. He comforts us. Those trials and tribulations change us. They change us and do a mighty work in our lives, showing us things so that we can overcome the trials and tribulations, have victory. And then when we see somebody else go through it, we can help them. Okay? We know that we're called to love others as we love ourselves. Matthew 19:19 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Those are the words of Christ. The other thing is that we know that we are told not to put our light under a basket. But we're supposed to display it so that everyone can see it. Now, the light that I'm referring to is the light of God that's within us. The light of God that's within us, we are called to display for others. Matthew 5, 14, 15, and 16, the word says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We are called to testify. We're called to tell people the things that the Lord has done for us. We are called to comfort others in their tribulations. We are called to be an encouragement to others. We are called to love one another, to lead and guide in love. So with all of these things in mind, let me ask you, how many people do you avoid just because they're not walking with the Lord? I'm sure we can all think of someone in our lives that we would rather avoid than have anything to do with. But let me ask you this. If you don't have anything to do with that person, how will they ever know how much the Lord has changed you? How will you ever be able to help lead and guide them to God if that's what the Lord wants you to do? If you don't talk to people, if they don't know how much you've changed, how are you going to do the Lord's work? How are you going to be a blessing to them? Let me ask you, are you a closet Christian? How many people know your relationship with the Lord? How many people that you know have seen the changes in your life? And will actually admit it to you? Will actually say it to you? Think about this. If we do not extend an invitation to others, inviting them into our lives, how will we ever be a blessing to them? How will they ever get to know us? How will they ever get to see the changes in our lives? Now, I say all of this to give you this example. I say all of that to give you this example. I'm the oldest of four girls. There's 4 years between me and my next sister. Six years between me and the sister after that, and 8 years between me and the sister after that. I moved out when I was 18 years old. Come here. Sit right there. I moved out when I was 18 years old. Some of my sisters were just getting into high school. They have friends that don't know I exist. I determined and I decided yesterday that my sisters know how much I've changed. My immediate family knows how much I've changed. They know that I'm there for them always. But yesterday I extended an invitation to my nieces and my nephews. that they would come to me if they ever needed help. Because I chose yesterday in my life to have a relationship with them. They're all older. They're all getting older. They all but one drives. I say all but three, actually. Two of them are younger. But of the older ones, I wanted them to know that there should never be a reason why they can't call me if they need something. And that's what I felt like yesterday. I determined in my heart that I didn't want to be an absent aunt. I wanted them to understand that I was there for them. And I thought I really analyzed my life and I was thinking, really? Am I that bad of a person that if someone needs my help, they won't come to me? Have I really displayed my love for the Lord in a way that has turned them off and pushed them away? I said to one of my sisters yesterday, I am here to help. But if I don't know that you need help, then I can't help. How will people ever know the work the Lord has done in your life if you avoid them just because they're sinners, just because they may not walk the same path with as you, just because they may get offended? And I'm not saying, you know, all of us have enough smarts that we don't shove the Lord down people's throats. The Word of God does say that you can win people to the Lord just by your actions. You don't have to say anything. Just by the things you do. Just by the way you live your life. Just by being an example to other people. You can lead people to the Lord. If you don't extend an invitation to others to enter into your life and allow you to be part of theirs, you're never going to be a blessing to them. And you're certainly not going to be a blessing to the Lord, because that's what the Lord calls us to do. The Lord calls us to go out and preach the word. There are ways to do it. There are, you know, just as the Lord works in our lives, he doesn't say, sit down, shut up, listen to me. That's not the way God works. He says, here's my book, read it, and come unto me, ye who are heavy and with your burdens, and I will give you rest. We're called to be a blessing to others. We're called to do the Lord's work. We're called to be an example. Sometimes we do that well. Caleb, you can go sit down. Sometimes not so well. But it's when situations come up in our lives and we're exposed to different things that the Lord is able to show us. God shows us things so that he can change us, so that we can do his work, so that we can lead in love, and so we can be a blessing to him and to those within our lives. We're not called to avoid people that don't know the Lord. How will we ever lead them to the Lord if we do that? If you're not a closet Christian, people are going to know the ways you live your life. People are going to know the changes that you've made in your heart. The changes that he may allow you to do in other people's lives, you may never know if you don't at least extend the olive branch and extend the invitation. I know at least two of my nephews that were completely surprised when they had a conversation with me. Just me and them. One was a text conversation, and he's still baffled by it. People never know how what kind of a person you are if you've always been seen as a Christian, an aunt or an uncle, and ooh. They don't see the warmness in your heart. They don't see how much of a wonderful person you are. All they see is the tough exterior. If they don't take the time to get to know you, if they don't take the time to see in, they're missing a blessing. However, if you don't take the time to show it, you're not being a blessing. Amen. We're called to do the Lord's work. We're called to show everyone how God has changed our lives. In the Word, in 1 John 3:16-18, the Word says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. "But whoso have this world's good and see his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" What that means is when you see somebody that's in need and you turn your head or you harden your heart and show him no compassion, how can the love of God dwell within you? Verse 18 is where I'm headed. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You've heard it said, actions speak louder than words. This is where this verse comes from, or that saying comes from, this verse. Let us not love in word, but in deed and in truth. You show people your love by your actions. Yeah, you can say it, but actions speak louder than words. Extend those olive branches. Do it gradually. Put them out there. I sent a text message to all of my nieces and nephews. Well, not all of them. There was two that I didn't send it to because they don't have cell phones. And one was my, you know, and then my daughter I didn't send it to. But I sent it to all the others to let them know that I am here, that I will help in any way that I can, and they may be surprised. But if I don't put the invitation out there for people to get to know me and to see me how I am now and learn how I am, not see me as the mean old Aunt Brenda that never has never done anything nice, they won't ever see the changes that God has made in my heart, and I won't ever be a blessing to them. I don't want to be a mean, horrible person. I know that I am not. And I don't want other people to have those thoughts in my mind or in their minds about me at all. I don't want to feel like I'm such a horrible person. People are afraid to talk to me. Let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. How many here in this room want to share the love of the Lord that they know with others? If we don't take those opportunities to do so in any small way, it doesn't have to be done with money. It could be done in any way, just to extend that invitation. Despite separation of years and lifestyles, we are inseparably linked as one in the bond of love. Despite all those differences, there is still one common bond between anyone, between you and anybody in this world. There should always be one common bond, and that should be love. Because why? Christ tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Right? Fellowship with others should not be limited by a narrow mind. You shouldn't just have fellowship with other Christians because you share a common bond and can sit and talk about the Lord all night. I know most Christians I know can sit and talk about the Lord all night long without ever even realizing the time of day. But it shouldn't be just limited to that. They may not be the same lifestyles. One is no better than the next. And neither should be displeasing to God. I mean, if you're doing things that go against his word, that's going to displease the Lord. You have to show others the love of God that is within you and how much he has changed your life and the mighty work that he has done in your heart. You have to share it with other people. You have to let people know that you know that God loves you. And you can show that to anybody, regardless of your age. Regardless, even Caleb can even show people how much he knows God loves him. Regardless of the age, regardless of the years, regardless of the lifestyles, regardless of all those things. We can still be a blessing to other people. We can still be a blessing to God. My final thought to you tonight is that the bonds of love that bind us are greater than the boundaries that separate us. The bonds of love that bind us are greater than the boundaries that separate us. Amen. That's a word for tonight. Short message. But it seems that children are testing patience tonight. They're doing it more subtly this time. It is a little different. All righty. Does anybody have anything to add? If all hearts and minds are clear, then we could stand for dismissal.